Hello and welcome to Counsel from Above, your place to ask a counselor questions you wish he would answer from God's Word. I am your host, Nathan Honeycutt, licensed professional counselor, minister of the Church of Christ, excited to be able to come together to talk about topics that are on your mind and things that you're thinking about. Hey, do you have something you wish I would talk about? Shoot it to me. I'd love to see it. You can send it to me to our Facebook group, Counsel from Above podcast. You can also get it to me through an email that is counselfromabove@gmail.com. I am looking for all the questions I can get, so send them to me. I would love to be able to answer those on the air and to be able, even if needed, bring in some of my guests to be able to talk about it. So, hey, shoot me your questions. I'd love to have them. Hey, let's get started today. We think about questions in our life, and we always think about relationships and people and the things that are gathering in our world and things that are we struggle with, because Satan's really good at putting some different things in our world that makes life a challenge. So our three questions today are really kind of talking about a lot of different things, but really it's about relationship. It's about a relationship with God, relationship with one another, and then seeing how do we kind of make all of those things work together. So this is all about relationships, God, and all that comes together in our world. So our first question is from Jody from Oklahoma. She says, how do I find God's peace and joy, not just moments of it? How do I get into a being of joy and peace versus just a feeling? Well, this is a really interesting question, because when we first think about joy and peace, it is a feeling that we experience, a feeling that comes in our world. And Jody's doing a great job of helping us also to see that many of our emotions can become such a part of us that it becomes our being. It becomes the very value or the very kind of trait we approach life with. You know, when you think about optimism or pessimism, you've got this feeling of seeing good things or seeing negative things. And there's some people that have such a feeling that it's just kind of who they are. They just walk around that, or they walk around happy, or they walk around with a positive outlook or a negative outlook. And so, Jody, I appreciate the question, because it's a wonderful thought to remind us all that it's about reaching a point of being versus just a moment in time of feeling. So we think about peace, we think about joy, and we try to explain what it is, and we try to understand it. Now, as the question prefaced, there is such thing as God's peace and joy. Satan has it as well. Satan has moments of peace and moments of joy that he wants you and I to experience and to feel and to focus upon them. Most of the time, those particular feelings that come from him or that experience of him is inflated. It is set in a moment in time, and it is trying to be disconnected from the consequences of the true decision. You know, we think about drug addiction or sex addiction or actions that are outside of God's law. In the moment, there may be a moment of joy, moment of peace. You scream at somebody, you yell at them, and you just go off on them. For that split second, there may be peace that you've emptied your mind, or peace and joy that you were able to tell them off. But then consequences come from that, and the results then begin to be presented. And now all of a sudden, that joy and peace is gone because the truth of what we've done is there. See, God's peace and joy is something that isn't inflated, nor is it set only in the moment. When we think about true peace and true joy, it's about being in a tranquility of being, a willingness in that moment and in our life in general to be at comfort, to be at acceptance with whatever is we're in at the moment. And so when we think about a peace that passes understanding, Philippians chapter 4 tells us that it is through our willingness to pray and to give our supplication, our life choices, our difficulties, our wants, over to Him. And it's when I let Him manage those things is when I begin to have a being of joy and peace versus a feeling of joy and peace. And I think that through life, there is, I think, a desire to find the easy way out, to find easy things, to find the simplest route through life. And I think that's just kind of a natural human nature. But true peace and joy is not about finding the easy way out, but it's about doing the right thing. It's about being the right person. It's about living the right way. That's where this peace that passes understanding, this rejoicing is found, is in the Lord, Philippians 4 and verse 4. Philippians 4, 6, we pray in order to obtain, Philippians 4, 7, the peace that passes understanding. There is a reason you have these verses together, because in order to find peace and joy as a being, I am to be in Christ Jesus, talking through the relationship that I have with Him to God to ultimately find, and then you'll find verse number 8 and then also 13, finding an acceptance and contentment in life. And so to find that, I have to be in Christ, I have to be talking to God, and I have to be accepting of what may be going on in my world and knowing, and we're doing it in order to honor and please God. So to find it as a being, I have to be in Christ, I have to be talking to God through Christ, and I have to be accepting this is where I'm at and what is going on in my world, and God's going to take care of me because He promised He would. So Jody, that's a great question. I appreciate it. The next one comes from Anonymous. An email was sent to me. They've requested to be anonymous. The question is how is it possible to be content when single and still have a desire to be married? So this particular person expressed that they are single and yet they want to be married. I mean, they want to have a family, they want to have kids, and so they're struggling with the fact that they're not there yet. And so this question's been a really good question. It's really kind of made me think about a lot of different things. A lot of people that I know are individuals that, you know, want to serve God and be what God wants them to be, but still wanting something else, wanting that relationship, wanting that connection. So the question's a great question. And I think the answer comes from the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul presented a message in Romans that indicates, you know, when you're thinking of your relationship and your connection to other people, first, it's about serving God, being the best of what God wants. And there, at this point, may not be the person in your life that you're wanting to be committed to for life. Because you think about it, there are people who struggle with being single and will then get into relationships and get into marriages just simply so they can avoid being single. And those marriages are not good marriages. They're not quality marriages. They're not built on godly principles. But it keeps them from being single. It keeps them from being alone. And therefore, they are attractive and they are wanting because, well, at least they're not alone. And so the answer to the question is about, what relationship is really the value to you? If a earthly relationship is of utmost value, then that will ultimately be what guides your decisions. If your relationship with the Almighty is the most important, then that will guide your decisions. Whether or not you may be married or not married, children or no children, becomes less of an importance because your focus is on how do I be what God wants me to be. And as that happens, what God may put in store could be a lot of different things. Could be a life that's single, could be a life that has a relationship down the road. Could be around the corner, who knows? But being content in wherever we might be is about accepting and making sure that we are being what God wants me to be. You know, Romans 8:28, we talk about it a lot. You know, all things work together for good for those that love the Lord and called according to His purpose. Find life in His purpose. Find joy, peace, contentment, acceptance in His direction of life. And then we find the promises that God gives to us that He provides what we need. You know, Matthew chapter 7, 6 and 7, he's very clear. Excuse me, Matthew chapter 6, he's very clear that he gives us exactly what we need, the things that we are wanting. Matthew chapter 7, he talks about ask and you'll receive, knock and the door will be open to you. But that's only when we are found within his direction and guidance. So our contentment is all about our willingness to say, is my focus, my relationship with God? And if it is, then I accept whatever comes with that connection, because God's going to give us exactly what we need for the outcome to be good, because that's His promise. All right, so third and final question, also another email from our popular guest, Anonymous. Question is, I got three of them, so they're kind of crammed together here. They fit really good together. Why should a person get married? What makes getting married better than being single? And what is the right reason to get married? And the right is in quotation marks. So why should a person get married? And what makes getting married better than being single? It's kind of the same answer. And people get married for a lot of reasons, hence the third question, what are the right reasons? I mean, people get married because they lusting after somebody else. You know, Paul said very clearly, it's better to marry than to burn. And so they may have committed themselves to being celibate and to only have sex inside of marriage. And so they're in a relationship and they're like, you know, I can't stop, can't wait. So therefore they go and get married just so that they can keep from violating that covenant with God. You've got others that get married because they don't want to be alone. You got others that get married because they need a green card. You got others that get married because they have to, or they feel like they're forced to, or they feel like that this is the only person that's possible, or they get married because they were intoxicated at the time. You know, holding on the answers on that one. You know, what are the right reasons to get married? The right reasons to get married is because you're wanting to help this person go to heaven and you feel like they can help you to go to heaven. You love this person and you want to fulfill your role as a spouse in their life. And so thus husbands take on a role as a husband and spiritual lead because they love their wife, and that love guides their choices and decisions, and they use that love as a focal point of being able to lead this person to safety within God's direction. You have some that get married because they want to fulfill the role as wife and want to respect and honor and show that type of connection to their spouse. And so they want to have that relationship. Some get married because they have to have children. And so that ends up being a very slippery slope and oftentimes is the very wrong reason to get married. Because if it's all about children, then what happens when the children grow up and are gone? Now you're left in a connection that you don't like and a person you don't love. And now you're probably damaging the children more than helping them. So when we think about the right reasons to get married, it's about a relationship and connection that you want to spend your life trying to connect with and grow because of the benefits. I mean, the fact is that all relationships end. All relationships end. In this life, anyway. They end because you can't get along. They end because you die. They end because someone else gets in the way. On and on the list goes that oftentimes, and this is the part that hurts, doesn't it? This is the part that even makes a lot of people not want to commit and not want to get into a relationship because they don't want to feel that way. They don't want to hurt. So the question becomes is why not just stay single? You know, you won't hurt like that whenever they pass or hurt whenever the relationship ends. So why even get into that? And I think the answer is because of the life that you get to live until that happens. The connections you get to enjoy and the way that you get to go through this life. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 8, it talks about the fact that we get to enjoy this life together. And we do that by fulfilling our role, by fulfilling our expectations that God has provided us. And in doing that, we are able to enjoy this connection together. So why should people get married? They should get married because they want to help this person go to heaven. They want to be connected with them for the rest of their life, and they're willing to work together to create a relationship that benefits their being and things that they enjoy in life. What makes it better? That connection. You know, humanity is made to connect. You know, God was pretty clear in Genesis chapter 2. It is not good for man to be alone. He did not make man to just be by itself. He made man and that they want that connection with somebody else. Now, not everyone's that way. Sometimes people are like, you know what? I don't like people. They hurt. They make bad decisions, and I don't want to feel like that. So leave me alone. Okay, no problems. There's exceptions to that rule. But not all of us are that way. Many of us are wanting that connection. Therefore, we do what it takes to build and gain that connection. And so we get married for those reasons, because we love, we care, we respect, we honor, and we want to be a person that helps them to grow and to draw closer to God. So when we think about these things, we begin to now start to understand that making the decision to be married is a whole lot more of a challenging decision than, well, I ain't got nothing better to do, or, well, got to have kids, or whatever the case may be. There's no green card worth your soul. There's no person that is worth losing your soul over. So be careful, be mindful, be picky, and find the person that has the same interest in going to heaven that you do and finds values that you find, so that together you can meet what God wants from both to ultimately work through this life to get to the ultimate prize for all of eternity in God's wonderful paradise. Hey, thank you for your time. Appreciate it. Hey, send me questions. I am running low and I'm about out. So if you want the show to continue, send me some questions. Check us out on the Facebook group. I'm going to be putting up some posts there and continuing a few of the videos. So, hey, check me out there and see what you can find. Send the questions to me also on our Gmail account, which is counselfromabove@gmail.com. Thank you for your time. As always, we want to live our lives in such a way that God is first and foremost, because it's all about listening to God's message, God's word, God's direction as He gives us His counsel from above.